Today we get to start something that is actually pretty exciting. I've been looking forward to it for some time, and I hope that you are excited as well as we begin the month leading up to Easter. We are going to embark on a journey. We're going to experience the Bible like never before. And this is all based on a new mini-series that will air on the History Channel each Sunday night at 7 o'clock, beginning tonight. They will this mini-series takes 2 hours each week for 5 weeks. It's a 10-hour movie, basically, spread over the 5 weeks. And they're going to start in Genesis and tell the stories of the Bible through Revelation. And it works out really well because we're going to follow along with them each week, and they're going to get to Easter. And on Easter, they're going to tell the story of the resurrection in a powerful way. And so that's going to help us to celebrate that remarkable day in a special way. This is going to be a neat month as we watch the movie together. And so what we're going to do as a church family is participate in that in a couple of unique ways. First, each Sunday morning, I'm going to speak on one of the stories that will be presented that night on the TV show. Then you go home that night, you watch it on TV, you see the two-hour series special for that night. Then we'll get back together on Wednesday at our regular Bible study time, Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we'll have kind of a Q&A and discussion time, informal discussion over what we saw on the show that previous Sunday. Then, the following Sunday, I'll speak on one of the stories that'll be on the TV that night. You'll watch the TV. We'll get back together again on Wednesday. And I hope that you'll be a part of that each step along the way. It's going to be a good experience for us, I think. One of the other things that will enhance that experience is we have a little book called the Daily Guidebook, based on the TV series, and it's called the Bible 30-Day Experience. And this little book is actually a simple little thing, but how it works is you start today, and there's a short little reading each day, and then after you watch the TV show, there are some discussion questions that you could share with your family. Maybe you're in a small group and your small group might choose to use those questions. Or you could use it individually just to guide your own personal thoughts and study through the month. But I want to encourage you, if you'd like to have a book, they're available for you in the foyer. They cost $10 and you can pick those up there. We'd love for you to have one if that's the kind of thing you're interested in. They are available there. Also, somebody says, well, I want to do this. I want to come every Sunday. I want to be here on Wednesday. I'd like to have a book, but I don't even get the History Channel at my house, so I can't watch the show. Well, we're going to take care of that as well, because we have a number of families who have agreed to open their homes for a small group type experience where you can get together and watch with other folks in the church. And so if you're interested in that, you can get that information in the foyer. As you leave today, you can find out where there are some folks hosting small group times where you can watch the show together. All right? So I encourage you to do that, kind of keep up with it as we go along. This morning, we're going to look at one of the most powerful stories in the Old Testament. Particularly, I think it is powerful to those of us who are parents. It pulls on some heartstrings that are very difficult. It's hard for a parent to think about this story, much less to see it enacted. But that's what I'm going to ask you to do. Watch this, if you will. You'll recognize the story right away. But this is one short scene from what we're going to see tonight. If you'll give me all the lights down, it's the only way we can see this one.
Father, Father. We have the firewood, but where's the lamb?
The Lord will provide a sacrifice, my son.
Abraham take a lamb?
No, mistress.
He wouldn't.
Bring the wood.
Isaac, you must trust in God.
How does Abraham do that? I didn't show you what happened just before this scene simply because of time. But you'll see tonight that Abraham is is on his own, kind of in the wilderness area there praying. And God tells him that he is to sacrifice Isaac. Certainly must have been difficult for Abraham. In the show tonight, you'll see in his face the war within him. I must obey God, and yet this is my only son. How hard that must have been for him. I want us to look again at the story. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, look with me in Genesis chapter 22. This morning, I want us to look at a journey. Journey from death to life. Each week in March, we're going to look at a different journey that is portrayed for us in the Bible. This morning, we see a journey from death to life. We're used to seeing this story from Abraham's perspective. How hard it was for him because God told him to sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham is obedient. He goes ahead and he tries to follow through on what he's told to do by God. And we see that struggle. We usually consider the story from his perspective. But the show kind of added some imagination there and asked the question, what about Sarah? What did she experience? What was it like for her? And I think that's a valid question. Abraham and Isaac go to make a sacrifice to the Lord, and they travel about 50 miles. It takes over 2 days. They arrived where they were on about the third day. So they're traveling at a pretty good clip, really. But they're gone a long time. How many of you get worried when your kids are gone for 30 minutes? Much less now, they're gone for days. And so I think it's interesting to consider it from her point of view. But this morning, I want us not to think of mom or dad. But this morning, think about it from Isaac's point of view. What must this experience have been like for him? Let's look at the story together, because as we look at the story, We're going to discover something. We're going to discover that his story is an awful lot like our story. I want to show you that. Let's look. Genesis 22. We'll start at verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Now that is powerful. Notice that God didn't say, take Isaac and go. Did you hear how he worded his command? He said, Abraham, take now your son, your only son, the son that you love, Isaac. Four different ways to describe the son. God is making a clear point to Abraham. I am asking you to sacrifice the one thing in this world that means more than anything else to you, your son, your only son, and the one that you love, Isaac. Now understand that this is not just for Abraham. This is not just sacrificing a child, as horrible as that is. There's more to it for him. You remember Abraham's story? Didn't have kid, didn't have kid, didn't have kid. God said, you're going to have a kid. God says, I tell you what, you're going to have a whole bunch of descendants. I'm going to build a nation out of you. And it all starts with the promise. A promise child. Now God is saying, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice that child. God is saying, I made you a promise, and I fulfilled my promise. I'm going to take that promise back. Will you still trust me if I do that? It's a huge test. I'm going to take back my promise, and will you still trust me when I do that? Now, for you and for me, it's a horrible thing. It sounds awful that someone would be called upon to sacrifice a child. Understand that Abraham was familiar with that practice in other religions. That was a fairly common practice in the ancient world. This is not new and shocking to him. People sacrificed their children to false gods all the time. The strange thing now was that the one true God was asking for a similar sacrifice. So Abraham says, well, if they sacrifice children to their God, my God asks the same thing. How can I not How can I not sacrifice my son? How can I not give up the promise that he gave me? God is telling me now to trust him even when it feels like he's turning his back on me. Have you been there? It feels like God forgot me. I can't hear him anymore. I can't see him anymore. Doesn't look like he's working. Doesn't look like he's caring. And yet God says, you trust me. Have you been there? Because if you haven't, you will. Here he says, take your son, your only son, the one you love, Isaac. Sacrifice him. Look at verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son. He split wood for the burnt offering. He arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to the young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder. We will worship and return to you. He didn't know, I don't think. He didn't know that he was speaking prophecy. Did you see what he said? He said, I and the boy are going to go worship, and we will return to you. Abraham knew that he was walking up that hill to sacrifice Isaac. I don't know that he knew he was speaking prophecy when he said, we actually will come back. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on the back of Isaac, his son. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. As Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, he said, here I am, son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Again, not knowing that he was speaking prophecy, he says, God will provide, son. God will provide for us. What we see as we look at this story from Isaac's point of view is life is uncertain. And we realize that his life, his story, is very much like ours. For him, his story was uncertain. His life was uncertain. Here, he just woke up one day and dad said, hey, let's go for a walk. 3 days later, they arrive to make this sacrifice. Isaac looks around. They're going up a hill. And if the movie makers got it right, and I think they're pretty close, if they got it right, this is not a plush kind of a place with grass and streams and critters bouncing around all over the place. This is kind of a dry and desolate high place. If you don't take a critter with you, chances are you're not going to find one when you get there. And so Isaac says, hey, Dad, we got the wood, we got the fire. Where's the lamb? There's a lot of uncertainty. And I don't know how it happened. I really don't. I don't know how it happened if Abraham grabbed his hand and tied him up like in the movie. Or did Isaac have such faith in his dad that he crawled up on top of that altar because daddy told him to? Did he fight back? Probably not. By that time, Isaac would have been old enough that he could have taken the old man, probably. We don't know what happened. But can you imagine what was going on in Isaac's mind? What in the world is this all about? Dad, you love me and I love you. What are you doing? Where's the lamb? What's happening? Life is an uncertain journey. That's true for your life, and it's true for my life, just as it was for his. We are all on a journey. Pastor and songwriter named Ira Stanfill wrote, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. That is the walk of faith. You will not understand things in this life. You won't. I wish I could tell you there's a way to figure it all out. The truth of the matter is, life is an uncertain journey. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. We don't know how long we'll be here or what that life will look like. What we do know is the one who does know. We can know God. We can trust in Him regardless of the way things look or feel. We know that we can trust Him. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 says, no man knows what will happen. Who can tell him what will come after him? We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know who holds tomorrow. My life is an uncertain journey. Well, let's continue the story. Abraham tells Isaac in verse 8, God will provide. Again, I'm not sure Abraham even knew what he was talking about. He just trusted that God would provide. He knew that something was going to happen. He said, God will take care of us one way or another. Verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built the altar there, arranged the wood, bound his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Just like Isaac, you and I can say today that my death appears certain. My death appears certain. Isaac is laying on the altar and he looks up and he sees the knife in his father's hand. Can you imagine his amazement, his confusion, his horror? Did Abraham explain what was about to happen? Did Isaac resist? We don't know. But at some point, Isaac realized that his death was certain. Talk about your life flashing before your eyes. Some of us have had maybe a similar moment. Cancer scare. Accident, in the, car accident. That phone call that we didn't want, and all of a sudden, what is life? All of a sudden, I could have just died. All of a sudden, how long do I have? And we're hit. We're sometimes overwhelmed by the reality that death appears certain. The Bible talks about death in a lot of different ways. In one place it says that your life is like the grass that comes up for a short time and then that desert heat hits it and it withers and dies and goes away. Another place it says your life is like that mist that comes up in the morning, that dewy kind of mist that just kind of covers the field over there early in the morning, and then as soon as the sun gets up high enough, it dries up and goes away. Scripture says our lives are short and our death is certain. We, like Isaac, realize at some point that we're not going to be here forever. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. That tells us why death appears so certain. Why? Because men sinned. Adam chose to sin. And when he chose to sin, everything fell. All of creation. Everything fell. Everything was affected. Even human life. Human life now comes to an end in this life, in this world. Why? Because sin affected it. You say, well, that was Adam's fault. I shouldn't have to suffer. But then Paul makes it clear that all of us have sinned. And the wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is what? Is death. That's a part of our experience now because we have sinned against a holy God. My death appears certain. And isn't that depressing? That's a depressing thing to hear, preacher. Death is coming to everybody. It's not if, but when. We all know the human condition is terminal. Death rate is 100%. Preacher, why would you give us such bad news? Ecclesiastes 9, moreover, no man knows when his hour will come. Why do we have to face it? Because there's better news coming. You're not ready for the good news until you have come to grips with the bad news. The good news is my salvation has been provided. My death seems certain. The knife has been raised over Isaac, and it's a matter of time. His death seemed certain. At the last moment, the angel of the Lord said, Abraham. Abraham stops at the last moment. Let me see. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord, verse 11, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. And he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. At the last second, the angel of the Lord says, stop, Abraham. And the way the movie depicted it, there was he had already started the downward motion, so the distraction from the angel of the Lord gave him just enough time to redirect, not hit Isaac. And then we see what I believe is supposed to be the angel of the Lord up on the hill. We see him for just a second turning and going. His job is done. He stopped Abraham. Scripture says that the angel of the Lord says to Abraham, now I know that you really do trust in God. You've proven it by this great act of faith. Isaac still lays there. Now, surely amazed. And what happens? Verse 12, he said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Verse 13, Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. I'm sorry, by his horns. Thick tongue today. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. He turns and looks at the last second, and there is the ram, a sacrificial animal, a substitute. God calls Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Isaac lays there watching the knife come down. At the last second, God stops him and says, look over yonder, and there is a sacrifice, a substitute. Isaac now gets to live. He has been saved. You know, we use that term so frequently. Are you saved? I've been saved. We use that so frequently, I think we forget what it means. To be saved is to be delivered from some danger. The danger is you and I are facing death. We deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. But you see, the good news is that God loved us so much that he sent us a substitute, a sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to die so we don't have to. The Lamb of God comes to save us, to deliver us from that danger and provide that salvation. Just as he did for Isaac, God provided salvation for you through a substitute, a lamb. You remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus by the Jordan River? When Jesus appears there, walks down to the river, John sees him. And what does John say? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says, look, there's a Lamb of God. At this point, Jesus is just a carpenter's son. At this point, he's just showing up on the scene. Nobody knows him. And John says, that's not just a man, that's a Lamb of God. Why? Because he is going to be a sacrifice. He's going to be a substitute. By the way, that substitutionary sacrifice has always worked in God's plan. Adam and Eve, when they committed the first sin, they recognized they were naked. God said, how do you know you're naked? We know we're naked because now we know the right from wrong. We have knowledge. We know stuff we're not supposed to know. Why? Because we ate the fruit. All right? Now you know stuff you're not supposed to know. What are we going to do about this? Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with leaves. And that wasn't sufficient. Next thing, God provides a sacrifice, and they cover themselves with the what do you call it? The skin, the pelt of the sacrifice. They're covered with a sacrifice, a substitute. Next thing we know, in Exodus, the people are in Egypt. Passover, the angel of death is going to come over. He's going to take the firstborn of every family, unless you sacrifice that lamb and put the blood of that lamb on your doorpost. And then the angel will pass over. Why? Because it recognizes the sacrifice, the substitute for the firstborn son. Then the law is all about making sacrifices that are substitutes for our own sinful nature. And we sacrifice the animals described in the law as a way of providing that means of forgiveness. Each time there's a sacrifice that is a substitute, and then Jesus on the cross, of course, the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God dies so you don't have to. And at one point in the future, John tells us in Revelation that all the angels in heaven in glory sing in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Worthy is the Lamb." Now you see, your life is uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen. Death appears sure. We do know we're going to die. But salvation has been provided. You don't have to die forever. Your death can be a transition from one life to the next because Jesus died the sacrificial death for you. He paid the price for your sin. Now, if you receive Him, ask Him into your life, let Him forgive you, then that substitution counts on your behalf. He takes your sin, gives you His righteousness, and we live forever. Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for the promises You always keep. We thank You for the promise of salvation, the gift of grace. Lord, we thank You for this awesome story. As we see from Isaac's life now, how his life seems so much like ours. Help us to respond in an appropriate way today. Father, we pray that You would help us to be real with You, real with ourselves. Make sure that we have accepted that free gift of eternal life. This morning is our prayer in Jesus' name. We're going to stand together.